This evening, I'd like to invite you to the New Testament book of 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1.
All right. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne thanking you again for the privilege we have of gathering together as your people. And then, Lord, for the privilege of calling upon you to bless your word and bless us, Lord, with understanding and wisdom and with the filling of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you might be highly exalted and lifted up in our lives. And then, Lord, that we might be empowered by your Spirit and your grace to be the witnesses and the testimony of the great things that you do in our own lives and, Lord, in the lives of others. So bless again, your word and your people, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply, "Try the Spirits Whether They Are of God." And so we're going to look at three ways particularly concerning the spirits to see whether they are from God, because there's a spirit of the world, there's a spirit of wickedness, and there's also the spirit of God, and we want to know, because God has called us. Listen, he said, make sure that you try the spirits. There's a way that you weigh them out. There's a way that you can examine them in light of the truth to see where they're coming from. And so God does not want us to be ignorant of what the world is doing and what the devil is doing. He doesn't want us to fall prey to that. And it's really not complicated when we call upon the Lord to do that for us. So tonight we want to consider three thoughts here in this portion of Scripture. And that is a warning against the spirits or the false prophets that are in the world. They're already there. Secondly, we want to consider overcoming the world or the spirit of Antichrist. And then the last thought is the life of God that's revealed in us. And that puts everything into perspective when we realize what God is doing in our own personal lives. That reveals a lot to us. As we walk with the Lord, He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so therefore, the truth and the life and the way are revealed to us. We'll know which way to go. We'll know that we're walking in God's way and in the truth. So notice the first thought here, and that's really found in verse 1, and that is this warning against false prophets that are in the world. And so he's talking to believers. We want to consider that at the very beginning here in verse 1. He's speaking to the beloved believer, amen? And so this is not, the world can't receive this kind of information because they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. So first comes salvation, and then the rest of the promises that God has given to every believer. So he says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits." Don't be ignorant. Don't walk in blind faith. The believer does not have blind faith. Amen? The world would have us believe that, oh, you believe in blind faith. Oh, no, we believe in a faith that has been revealed at the very beginning with salvation, eternal life. And if you're saved, you know that is for certain. That's not a maybe, I hope so, I think so, that you can go back to a time and a place, maybe not the specific day, maybe not the specific time, but you can go back to some time in your life where you've put your personal faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've experienced the redemption, the guilt being removed, and you know that your sins have been dealt with on the cross of Calvary, and God has imparted to you His righteousness, and that's what grants you and I eternal life, right? Nothing that we've done, everything that the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has done for us. And so because we know the Lord is our Savior, then as we call out to Him, He begins to do different things in our lives. We begin to watch how He builds us and how we grow in God's grace and in His Spirit and His wisdom and understanding. And the more we call upon the Lord, the more we engage God and the more God engages us, and we begin to see things, answers to prayer and all these different things. And so God substantiates our faith or our trust in Him by our experience and our walk with Him. So as a child of God, well, let's just look at it physically speaking. Do you think the baby, a newborn baby, knows its mother? Kind of mixed ideas there. I think they know when they're in the mama's hands, right? But they don't really, you know, they don't have their eyes open. They know something about the mom. They know that the mom takes care of them. When they cry, the mom's going to take care of them. Amen? But then as they grow older, they have the relationship changes, does it not? As a very small baby, and we're born again in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're babes in Christ also. But as the baby grows, it becomes more acquainted with the mom. It becomes more familiar with the personality of the mom, the appearance of the mom, and it becomes a different kind of a relationship, doesn't it? In fact, maybe you can remember being your mom and dad maybe left you with your grandparents or with somebody else to watch you for a little while. That's always a little bit of an uncomfortable feeling because that's not what you're used to. What you're used to is, you know, as long as you know mom and dad are around, we're at home, right? We're at home. And so God wants us to be at home with him. And the more we grow in the grace of God, the more we see and understand of God and growing in his grace and becoming more acquainted with his presence, we know when we're out of the presence of God. And so God wants us to understand his presence. He wants us to understand the Spirit of God working and moving in our lives. He wants us to become very intimate with him so that we can tell right away. There's not a long gap of time. We can tell right away when things are not right. Amen? This is not right. This is not something that my heavenly Father would approve of, right? Back in the late 80s. I got saved in 87. I'm thinking 88, 89, 88 probably. I was working in Tampa, Florida, and me and this fella that worked together doing these neurodiagnostic tests, we had some time. We had about an hour before our next appointment, and we couldn't really go anywhere because we were far away from Tampa. I can't remember the name of the town that we were in. But anyway, I was learning about the New Age movement from a Christian perspective. And so lo and behold, right next door was a New Age store. And I'm a new Christian. I'm not saved very long, a year or so. And so I thought, well, let's go in there and take a look. That was not a bright move on my part. But anyway, there were that store maybe was as big as half of this building right here. That was it. You came in, there was some, if the front door was over there, there were some shelves, and then there was a long counter, glass counter like this, and there were two ladies working back in behind the counter. And me and Brian, that's who walked in there, we were both believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, went to the same church anyway. We went in there, and we were looking around. And those women never said one word to us. They never said, I'm telling you, we spent maybe 3 minutes in that store. And then I had to leave. I had to leave. And Brian looked at me and went, did you feel that? I said, what do you mean? He said, I felt like the hair on the back of my neck was standing straight up. I said, yeah, I didn't feel comfortable at all in there. And that was the Spirit of God. And for sure, the spirit of the devil that was in there. I mean, they had a satanic Bible. That's when I said, I got to get out of here. I was talking about New Age. Well, New Age is of the devil, right? These ideas that you can discover your inner person and your inner... That's not what the Bible... Listen, we need to discover the Lord or we don't have life at all. But listen, even as a babe in Christ myself, I knew I was not in the right place. And so God wants us to realize his spirit and sense the difference between the spirit of the world, the spirit of the flesh, and the spirit of God that indwells every believer. So notice what he says here in verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. He's asking you and I to try the spirits. And why? Because he says whether they are of God. Notice this, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So we have all different kinds of demonic realms that are out there in many different areas. Listen, there's only one true God. Isn't that the truth? Everything else belongs to who? The devil. Isn't that easy? Listen, so if it's not of God, you know, stay away from it. That's not what God wants us to participate. So there's the first warning right there concerning the spirits of the world or the false prophets that are in the world. And now notice number two, the overcoming the world or the spirit of Antichrist. Look at verse 2. Hereby know we the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now that is the simple, plain gospel. Amen. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, which we are part of that, to have eternal life. if somebody rejects that, you need go no further. I mean, that is the basic, simple spirit of God. Those who say that God, oh, Jesus is a figment of your imagination. Baloney. You can say that all day long because you've never seen God, amen? And you've never experienced the Lord. Now, we have never seen him physically, but we have seen him in salvation, have we not? We have seen God. If God didn't show us that we were lost and undone in our sins, we would have never gone to him. And so God has revealed himself through knowing our sin and understanding that Jesus Christ died on the cross to give us eternal life. So that's very fundamental and very foundational in the life of a believer. So he says, verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Very simple. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So he's saying this has already taken place. And in fact, listen, this was already taking place in the Old Testament. Didn't they worship false gods? And so obviously they were rejecting the one true God, were they not? We need to be reminded that everything started after the flood with Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Did they all see God's deliverance? Absolutely. So they are without excuse. And listen, I know it may have been hundreds and thousands of years later, but listen, that is important for us to pass down, because here's what happens. When you and I experience God, he's real in salvation. And so we want to share that with our children, do we not? And so should Shem, Ham, and Japheth also wanted to share that truth. But somewhere along the line, something became more important than a relationship with the Lord. And that is that the devil and the flesh got involved in saying, oh, listen, that's not that important. Oh, listen, it is all important. A relationship with God is all important. And why is that? Because we're going to be gone from this life longer than we've ever lived. Amen. If you make it to 100 in 20 years to live on this life, eternity is a lot longer, is it not? And so that is the most important thing that an individual can ever experience, and that is a relationship with the Lord. And he says, listen, I want you to understand something, that the spirit of the devil and the spirit of this world and the spirit of Antichrist can deceive and distract and cause people to go away from God. And we need to be careful about that. And then now notice here what he says, talking about overcoming. He says, ye are of God, little children. Isn't that good? Yeah, that's an endearing term. You are the little children of God. We are the little children of God. I like that. Now you've got to look at it like this. Little children, 2, 3, 4, 5 year olds, they are the happiest people on planet Earth. Do you know why? They're not worried about a thing, are they? Listen, they're not worried about where their food's going to come from. They're not worried about where the electric's going to come from. They're not even worried about the thermostat until they become teenagers. Amen? they're not worried about any of these things. They know that, listen, it's all, I don't have to worry about it. Everything is all right in my Father's house. Amen? And so likewise, God wants us to have that same kind of a relationship. So he says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, these false prophets and the spirits in the world, because listen to this, greater is he that is in you, not that he's maybe in you, he is in you, than he that is in the world. Well, who's that's in the world? The devil, Satan. But who's in us? God. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God is indwelling us. So listen to this confidence. Ye are of God, little children. How do you know that if not by the Spirit of God? Isn't that something? Listen, we know that because of the Spirit of God. If you're saved, people can, listen, I could have even told a saved person before I got saved, well, you have no way of knowing that, but that would be ignorance on my part. And then I got saved and I said, oh, I know that now. There is a God, amen? There's no doubt in my mind. How about Naaman? Remember Naaman? Remember, he would go with the king of Syria and worship in the false temple. And then remember, when he got cured of his leprosy, when he dipped in the Jordan seven times, he came up. He came back to Elisha, I think it was. Anyway, he comes back to him and he says, "Now I know." He didn't say, "Oh, listen, look, I'm made whole." He said, "Now I know there is no God but the God of Israel." He didn't talk one lick about his healing, but he did talk about an almighty God that he knew that he did not know before. Remember that? All right. So likewise, you and I also know there is a God in heaven because of our salvation. And so he says this: "Ye are of God, little children, and of over." Listen, are you of God?
Yes.
Amen. Do you know that for sure?
Yes.
With the same knowledge that you are of God, notice this, little children, you've overcome them because, he says, greater is he that is in you. Is that true? Absolutely, than he that is in the world. We have been given the victory in God.
Amen?
Amen? Listen, the big mistake is, well, I don't know if I could do that. That's our mistake. If we say, "I don't know," are we believing in God? No, and I didn't say you weren't a child of God. I just said we're looking at the wrong thing, right? If we look at what God has called us to do, and we say, "Lord, if it be you, bid me to come." Did Peter ever walk on the water before? No. But he had enough faith to believe that he could step on the water if God called him. If God called him. Question, did God call Peter to walk on the water? Question, did Peter walk for at least a little bit on the water?
Yes.
When was it that he got it all wrong? When was it that he began to sink? When he took his eyes off Jesus. Do you know when we'll sink? When we take our eyes off Jesus. Amen? When we start looking here to what we can do. Well, I can't do that. Guess what will happen? You won't be able to do it. But if you look to it, listen, God has called me unto himself. God has called me to follow him and to walk in his ways, not mine. So, Lord, I don't understand how this works. I don't have to understand how this works. You've said it. That settles it, whether I believe it or not. You said it, and it settles it, and I'm going to believe it. And so by faith, I'm going to walk and say, you're in me. You're indwelling me, not just to seal me for eternal life, but to empower my life to honor and glorify you.
Amen.
That's the way the believer, listen, my goodness, don't you believe, like, your parents, when you were a little kid, your parents were the best parents in the whole world. And they were really, I look back, they're still the best parents in the whole world. And I don't know if you know this, I don't know if this was a North Miami Beach thing, but I went to Sable Palm Elementary School, and little 6 and 7 year old kids, you know what they'd say? "My daddy can beat up your daddy." You ever heard that? You ever heard that? "My daddy can beat up your daddy." I don't know where that got started. I don't know. My dad happened to be a pro boxer. He fought some pro bouts. He I don't know if it was 28 or 30. He got knocked out one time, and that was the end of his boxing career. But here's the whole thing. He got the golden gloves. Rocky Marciano gave him the golden gloves. I got to meet Muhammad Ali. They were friends. My dad was the ring boy. Bragging on my dad. See, I'm proud of my dad. He was the ring boy before boxing got all perverted and everything, but he was the ring boy during the Cassius Clay Sonny Liston fight. He was the one holding up the rounds, right? And so they were saying, "My daddy can beat up your daddy." I had no doubt my daddy could beat up their daddies. Amen? But I want you to know something. As a saved child of God, we are a child of our Heavenly Father that can do anything and everything he says he can do. And if he says, "I can enable you to walk upright," more faith than we can put in any human being, we can certainly put our complete faith or our complete trust in him. Amen? And by the way, our Heavenly Father has no weaknesses. Amen?
Amen?
Our Heavenly Father can overcome anything and everything. And if there's anybody we ought to brag about, it ought to be our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
And if we start getting carried away with our Heavenly Father, step back and watch what God can do. So listen, we think of Naaman, and God healed him, and the first thing that came to his mind, I know about God now. How about when the Israelites came up to the impossibility of the Red Sea, and they passed through the other side? Do you think they were praising God? Absolutely. Listen, God is wanting to do things in your life and mine so that we can have a substantiated faith. He wants to overcome the obstacles in our life. And what he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I want you to know we need the Lord to enable us to keep his commandments. We don't need us and the Lord. We just need the Lord and trusting in what he has promised that he will fulfill the ability for you and I to walk in his ways. Not that you and I will do it in our strength, but that we will do it in his strength. Amen? Can your Heavenly Father do that for you? Amen. He can do that for you. And he wants to do it. And listen, the reason why you are beloved of God, it is not because of what you do or don't do for him. It is what for he has already done for us on the cross of Calvary. Amen. The reason why you are beloved by the Father is because of what we have received in the Lord Jesus Christ. You will always be loved. Now, we don't operate that way. Here's how we operate. If you cross me, I may not like you so much, right? That's how human people think. If you make me upset, you're not as lovely to me anymore, right? And you know, it's a sad thing to think about that unfortunately in some parental relationships, there's a hatred between children and parents. That's a horrible thing, isn't it? But it happens, doesn't it? You hear of children killing their parents and their parents killing their children, and you're like, what in the world? Something's off, right? Something is not natural. In order for that, listen, they've gone beyond not loving. They've gone into murder. They've gone into hatred, and that's not natural. That's not normal. But even beyond normal is the supernatural, and that's our relationship with God. And may we, if we don't learn anything else tonight, may we know that we are always beloved of God. Now we listen, and God, and the reason for it is because the blood that's been applied, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has been applied, and you have been given eternal life. And that will never change. That can never change. Just like I praise God, I cannot change who my mom and dad are. You can't change who your mom is. Aren't you glad? Amen? And even more important than that, we can't change who our Heavenly Father is. He will always be our God. Amen? All right. So it says this again, verse 4. Ye are of God little children and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They that are of the world, listen, therefore, he says, speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Now follow this. This is the spirit of the world. This is the understanding of how we overcome the world. And we need to understand what the spirit is being listened to. The spirit of the world goes against the things of God. And the spirit of the world, there's already the spirit of the world. When you have teachers teaching little kids things that are perverse today, is that of God? No. Where's that coming from? The spirit of this world. The spirit of debauchery. The spirit of depravity. Amen? And so God says, listen, you can try to talk to them, but realize they're probably not going to hear you. And do you think that kind of spirit, do you think people that are caught up in that kind of spirit, the spirit of darkness, do you think they want the light to come into their life? What's that saying? It's amazing how thieves and criminals in the midst of a robbery can never find a police officer. Do you know why that might be? They don't want to find a police officer, amen, if they're committing a robbery. Anyway. Verse 5, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Now listen, verse 6, we are of who? He's speaking to the beloved children. We are of God, and he that knoweth God, notice, heareth us. So do you know why that you're here tonight? Because you probably know the Lord. Amen? Do you know why you're saying amen? Do you know why you're nodding your head north and south instead of east and west? Because you have the same spirit. You have the spirit of God that says, yes, that is the truth. You would never be able to do that if you did not have the spirit of God indwelling you. And so he says this, we are of God. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. He says, there it is right there. All you have to do, if you want to know where somebody's coming from, if you're not sure, and by the way, the world and the devil are very deceptive. They can be so kind. They can an appearance of kindness, not real true love, not real true kindness. They are moved by an ulterior motive. They're moved by things that they can get. Amen. Their understanding and their desires are simply for this life, temporal. They're not thinking about the eternal. If they are, they'd be shaking in their boots. Amen? And so here it is. All you have to do, if you you don't even have to do this. You just have to think this. Ready? What would they say if I told them I love the Lord Jesus Christ? If you really want to find out where anybody's coming from, how do I think they would respond if I said, you know, Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world? You don't have to ask some people. You'll know. You'll know they'll want no part of that. Now, and I'm not saying that we antagonize them. No. God is just telling us we need to discern the spirits and not be taken by it. And this is why. Listen, this is why. We are given to like people. We are created not to be alone. Isn't that what God said? Not good for us to be alone. Do you know, listen, and that's why God says, be careful that you don't become unequally yoked with unbelievers. Why would God give that warning to you and me as believers? Because there's the potential of becoming unequally yoked. Is there not? Listen, we can become friendly with somebody, end up liking them, and say, oh, I don't know. Let's just set the things of God aside and let's just be friends. Oh, that is the biggest mistake you can ever make. That would be like an unbeliever tempting themselves by, we told in the past our children, you should never date a lost person. Do you know why? You've heard this. Every date is a potential what? Mate. Every date is a potential mate. One date. You could be starstruck, could you not? Huh? It happens. It happens. And so may we never entertain the idea of stepping in the wrong direction, because we can fall in love with people because that is our nature. It's the world's nature too. And the world will tell you, oh, listen, you don't have to do that. They don't even know God, but they'll tell you, you don't have to go to church. And by the way, technically we don't have to, but by golly, we should want to. Right? If we understand the church and the Lord Jesus Christ and the bride of Christ, we should surely want to. I remember when I got saved, I had all my lost friends tell me what I didn't have to do. I was like, wow, I never knew you guys were so religious. And in all my life, I never heard you guys talk one time about church. And now you know everything about it, right? And by the way, I still love all my old friends. I grew up with them since I was 6 years old, some of them since I was a teenager. And I still keep in contact with them, not like I do my Christian family. But you know what? I've got a heart. I pray for them. I pray for their families to be saved. I've lost some of my childhood friends early in life, and they didn't know. I hope they knew the Lord, but I don't know that. But God says, listen, we need to understand and be able to distinguish the differences between the two. So he says, how do you know that? He says, we are of God, verse 6. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby, he says, by this know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That's how we know whether they have an interest in that or not. All right, the last part here, and that is the life of God revealed in us. This is so important. I want you to know, unfortunately, I've heard this being made light of, but I want you to know this is the foundational truth of being able to walk with the Lord. This is the beginning and the continuing, empowerment of the power of God in the life of the believer. This is the source. This is the place. If you ever wanted to focus on one thing, this would be the focus that we would call upon the Lord where all blessings come from. All right, so watch this. Ready? Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. Why? Why? For love is of God, and everyone that loveth God is born of God and knoweth God. I'm almost tempted to sing this song. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Did you catch that? So here's the question. Is love for one another important in the mind of God for the believer? Didn't Jesus Christ say that I'm going to give you a new commandment? And this is how the world and everybody else and us will know whether or not we're right with God. Don't get to this place. Well, after all, nobody can love anybody or everybody. That's not what God says. God even says we're to love our enemies. We're to have a compassion and realize that they are without Christ, and that's why they are unkind, and that's why they're so full, as we were, full of ourselves, and so self-centered before God came in, but let that not be said of a believer. Oh, Lord, listen, I believe that you can empower me to love everybody in your love. Not mine, in your love, God. My love is limited. How about yours? My patience is limited. How about yours? Our God is unlimited. Amen?
Amen.
And I need God to enable me to do the things that are unlimited for his honor and glory. And didn't he say, if you call on me, I'll answer and give you whatever you need? Didn't the Lord say that in John chapter 14? And by the way, and then he also said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And guess what? We need the Lord to keep his commandments. But listen, the Lord must do that and perform that in and through us. It's high time for the believer to pursue the Lord in doing that. If you never pursue it, you'll never get it done. As the old saying goes, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. And at the end of life, you'll be nothing, right? That's not what you want to do. So we need to pursue God. So he says, in this verse 9, well, in what? In this love, one to another. In this was manifested the love of God. So guess what? If we don't love one another and we don't have the love of God, then we're not having the love of God manifested to us. We are a saved child of God, but we're not going to have the joy of the Lord. We're not going to have the love of God. We're not going to have the patience of God. We're not going to have the Spirit of God working in us the way God has created you and I to walk. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We will not be able to walk in Christ Jesus until we take God up on what he said and saying, Lord, I can't do this. I am asking. Didn't he say, if you ask me of anything, I'll do it? And here is my Father glorified. All right. So herein, Lord, I can't love everybody. And by the way, we're not going to pray for just love and patience and kindness. We're going to pray for all of God that he's given to us. All of the Spirit of God to have his free course in our lives. And so now you just have a choice. It's not complicated. Do you believe that or not? So here it is. Ready? Ready? I don't know where you're getting ready to go after church service tonight. I don't know who you're going to meet. And by the way, you may not know who you're going to meet either. You might meet somebody that might be cantankerous. And so here's the thing. Can you believe that God will enable you to love as he has? And so now I'm just going to walk in that. I'm going to trust you, Lord. You're going to do that. And if you do it enough times, you're going to see that it's just going to happen. And you're going to know it wasn't you. And you're going to go, hey, Lord, you are true to your word. Praise your holy name. I really didn't feel that evil green nature of mine coming up and welling up inside of me. See, God doesn't want us just to bite our tongue. You ever heard that? Well, bite your tongue. Well, that's not, you're getting ready to pop. How do you know that, Brother George? Because that's what I do. Amen. If I'm biting my tongue, I'm getting ready to pop. God doesn't want us to be ready to pop. Amen. That's like a stick of dynamite ready to go off. That's not the God wants us to have His peace and His joy. And so, Lord, you got listen. If we don't call upon Him to do these things, they're not going to get done. I can't do it for you, and you can't do it for me. But if you'll do it before the Lord, He'll show you great and mighty things that'll go, man, God, you are almighty. You are almighty. Because, Lord, you are doing things in me that I could never do and would never do. All right. So notice verse 9. And this was manifested, revealed, and manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might, oh, what? Live what? Oh, live through Him. Maybe our failure is because we're living life through ourselves. We're living life through ourselves. Well, I can't do that. Well, that's because you're living life through yourself. How about God? Can God do all things? Oh, He could speak the worlds into beings, but He can't enable us to glorify Him. He could do all this, but we're just a big problem for God. We got our eyes on the wrong God. Because my God and your God is all powerful. And so it's high time that God's people start believing God and what He said He could do. He's all powerful. And this is where we begin to see and experience God in our personal lives. I know you love the Lord. If you're a saved child of God, you can't help but love God. You could be put out with your parents, but you still love them. Right? Your parents could be put out with you more than once. And they still loved you. Didn't you scratch your head at that? Man, how my parents love me like that? Because that's something that God has given. Amen? And that is something in our relationship with Him that He's given to us. And fathom this thought. Yes, I'm sure we have failed God many times. But He still loves us. And He will never let us go. So let me ask you a question. If God has that kind of love for us, and He forgives how many of our sins when we bring them before Him? What are we waiting for? God's just waiting on us. Oh, well, you don't know what I've done. Well, talk to Paul about that. He persecuted the church. And the Bible says, and wasted it. And look what God did with him. Now, you tell me if you've sent any Christians to prison or to their death, and I will tell you God still loves you as He loves Paul. Isn't that amazing? Verse 10, here in His love, listen to this, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That just simply means the appeasing. It was the blood of Christ that appeased God, that made us united in Him. Praise God. Beloved, listen to this in verse 11. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. God said that. And you can't do it in your strength. We need the Lord for that. Now, I know, but... We need to have this kind of love that doesn't come from us. We need to have the love that God has given to us and wants to give us. But it's something that we've got to pursue the Lord in. I know that you can love people, but you can't love them like God does. Can you? Do you have that kind of love? Which one of you ladies ready to put up your firstborn son, if it was your only son, for not your friend, for your enemy? Which one of us would do that? See, we don't have the same kind of love. And that's okay. God knows that. That's why He gave us His. Isn't that amazing? You know what God's all about? Amen. Giving what He has. Listen, think about that. God is all about giving. How do you know that, Brother George? Because He didn't withhold His Son. He gave him for you and me. Now notice this. Verse 12. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, listen to this. God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. God's not wanting us to love in our love. God's wanting us to love and his love to be perfected where? I didn't say it. Did you see it? All right, now, hold God. You don't have to hold God. Take God to it in your life. In other words, believe God for it in your own life. And ask him if you're having troubles, Lord, I want to believe. Help my unbelief. Verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him. He's talking to beloved believers, right? Now, you can be saved, you're a child of God, but you might not be dwelling in him. So he says, verse 13, hereby, listen, know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Remember, if you want to find out real quick where somebody's at, I love Jesus, amen. You'll find out real fast where they're standing. You might probably have a good idea even before that. But notice this, verse 17, and herein is our love made perfect or mature, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because, listen to this, as he is, so are who? In this world. In this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us, if the truth be known, right? If we say, and we're done, these last two verses and we're done. If a man say, I love God, and he's talking to believers, and believers can say, I love God, and be in this place. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, the Bible says he's a liar. That's what the Bible says. For he that loveth not his brother whom God hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Listen to this. And this is the commandment that we have from him. Who's that? Jesus. That he who loveth God loveth his brother also. If you want to say you love God, Lord, I need you to show me how to love you and fellow believers. In fact, I need you to love through me my enemies. Because I want them to see Jesus too. Listen. I've had my feelings hurt. How about you? But we ought to have the love of God. I was so happy. I was taught how to lead somebody to Christ. I tried before that the best I knew how. And then I went to seminary school and learned the Romans Road. And I was so happy. I was going to tell my friend about the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's how I said it. I was a new believer. I found God. Amen. My one friend told my other friend, George said he found God. I didn't know he was lost. And my other friend told me that. That's how close we were. He told me that. I want you to know I was hurt more ways than one. That my friend took my Jesus that lightly. But just like that, God says he doesn't know him like you do. And he still needs to know him through you. And so God got my head in the right perspective, because I could have become offended and put out. But see, God steps in and helps us to see the bigger picture. And what is that ultimately? What is the big picture of your life and mine? That God would glorify himself through your life and mine. That God might send forth his light in your world, in my world. And it can't be done. It won't be done in our strength. Listen, if we are not asking God daily, that's part of the crucifying of the flesh. Lord, not my love, but yours. Lord, crucify my love, because it falls short Lord, crucify my kindness. Lord, away with any of my goodness, because there's no good in me. Because even my good deeds today, are they still not filthy rags? God won't take them. God has brought us from our rags to his riches. How about we say, God, from this day forward, that's where I want to walk. I want to walk. Will you fail? Join the club. You'll get your eyes off Jesus, but you just say, help me, Jesus. I'm walking in myself again. Reach out. He'll pull you up. He won't let you drown. Will he? No, he won't let you drown. He'll pull you up. Lord, not my will, not my way, but whose? Yours, God. Would you stand? All we have to do, listen, is trust who? Trust God. Not ourselves. I know you love God if you're saved. Trust him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We do thank you for the reminder, Lord, that we have been given the victory in you. May we seek you, Lord, to fulfill your will in our lives. Bless the invitation. Open up our hearts and minds to receive this wonderful truth that you've given to us tonight. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.